Good morning.
Good morning.
I can't see you guys. There we go. I can see some faces. I mean, seeing my checklist, who's here and who's not. Okay. Right. Okay. Joking. Good morning, East Lake Playas. Glad to see you guys here today. How many of you know the game or have played the game Pie Face? Yeah? You guys played it? I remember, I think it was Christmas. I think my grandson got it for Christmas. We didn't have whipped cream. We had shaving cream. And we played it maybe a couple of times before it got out of control. You know, it happens at our home. Instead of playing the game, we started chasing each other with the shaving cream. And we all ended up with shaving cream in our face and our hair everywhere. But that's not how you're supposed to play the game. This is how you're supposed to play the game. Watch this. The interesting part of that game is that someone at some time is going to get a pie in the face, right? It's very interesting that we're waiting for something to happen, right? You spin the little number, you get two, or you get a three, and you have to turn the thing three times or two times, and then you hear the click, 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 click. Sometimes you don't get it, and sometimes you get it. So the interesting part of the game is that someone at some time is going to get a pie in the face. But just like, let me get it here. You just know it's coming. It's coming, and we're going to get it. Someone's going to get it. The subject we're going to be talking about today is a little like this game. Not a lot, but a little like the game. So we're going to be talking about, what do we do when difficult times and storms unexpectedly hit our lives? What do we do? What is true about difficult times and trials and storms is this: they're coming. It's quiet. They're coming. We just don't know when. Wake up, guys, come on. During this series, we've been looking at some seismic events in the life of Jesus. Things he said, things he did, things that were absolutely incredible. And if we were to understand what these seismic moments show us about God, I believe that if we get some type of understanding, it'll give us hope. It'll give us hope and build our faith. The story we're going to be looking at today is found in Matthew chapter 14, where the storm suddenly arises and takes the disciples by surprise. Chapter 14 begins with Jesus finding out that his cousin John the Baptist was beheaded in prison. It's the same day where he healed the sick. It's the same day where he talked about the kingdom of God. It's the same day where you read the story how he fed thousands with some bread and some fish. And at the end of the day, he just needed some time to be alone, to grieve, and to connect with Father God. So he sends his disciples on a boat across the Sea of Galilee, and he says to them, go to the other side, go to this town, and I will meet you there. Right? He wants to be alone. He wants to connect with Father God. He wants to pray. And so they go on this boat, and several hours go by, and by this time, it's the middle of the night. It's 3 a.m. It's dark. It's cold. It's windy. A storm kicks up, right? Jesus knows what they're going through. They're freaking out. They're scared. But Jesus knows what they're going through. And he decides to go to them, but not. He doesn't pick up another boat. He goes to them walking on water. I know I just lost some of you right now. Yeah. Intellectually, it's just like, I just can't believe that Jesus is walking on water, right? Intellectually, we can't believe it. You start thinking it's like a fairy tale or Harry Potter or something, right? We just can't believe it. And if and when it comes to, when it comes to the miracles and claims of Jesus, you have doubt or are skeptical, this is the right church for you. You can belong before you believe. It's a safe place for you to investigate the claims of Jesus in the scriptures. But if that's you, I would like to invite you to consider this. If Jesus really is God, and if God created everything through the power of his word, when he said that there be light, there was light. Can a God like that have command of nature and defy the laws of nature? I believe so, right? Whether you believe it or not, something we all need to understand that God will always refuse to fit in our little boxes of who he is and what he can and can't do. He will refuse that. And the point of this story is to reveal to his disciples who Jesus really is. So we're going to start reading in Matthew chapter 14. It's going to be on the screen. If you're going to read it from your outline, we're going to go to where it says, when the disciples. Are you guys there? Or are you guys can read it here on the screen? You guys ready? So here we go. When the disciples saw him walking on water, they were what?
Terrified.
They were what?
Terrified.
In fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" I don't know how they said it. "It's a ghost!" You know? That's how Tony does it when he gets scared. But Jesus spoke to them at once and said what? Those words, "don't be afraid," I'm going to pause right there. Those words, "don't be afraid," is what Jesus or an angel always says when they reveal themselves to someone. Why? Because they're pooping their pants. Right? Imagine that. You know, you're peeing your pants or you're pooping your pants. Let's continue. It says, "take courage." What does it say?
"I am here."
"I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on water." He says, "Yes, come," Jesus said. So Peter went on the other side of the boat and walked on water towards Jesus. But when he saw the strong winds and the waves, he was what? And began to sink. "Save me, Lord," he shouted. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why do you what?
Doubt me."
When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. This is a seismic moment. This is a seismic moment in the life of Jesus, and this is a seismic moment in the life of the disciples. Their faith in Jesus drastically increased from this event. And this is what I hope happens with all of us from understanding this story. Let me ask you guys a question. What do you do in the middle? What do you do when in the middle of our life, unexpectedly, a storm comes up? What do we do? What do we do when in the middle of our life, unexpectedly, a storm comes up? Isn't that what happened to the disciples? And the disciples were doing what Jesus told them to do. And they ended up in the middle of a storm. I believe there's a misconception with what some of us believe. That just because we're Christians, all the bad stuff is going to disappear. tell you right now, that's not true. Here's your first fill-in. Making sense of difficult times. We will all face storms. From the creation story in Scripture, we know that our world is broken. Sin entered God's perfect creation, and ever since then, there's been suffering, there's been death, there's been war, there's been difficulty, there's been storms, there's been trials, there's been trouble. It's going to come our way. We just don't know when. John 16:33 says this, I have told you these things. So the enemy, you may have what?
Peace.
In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart. I've overcome the world. What Jesus is saying is that in this world, there are two realities. The first reality is trouble. There's going to be pain, there's going to be suffering, there's going to be storms in this world, right? And the reality also, the other reality is that this world is not what God intended it to be. But in Jesus, you can have peace. Why? Because Jesus is our overcoming Savior. Is what we celebrated Easter for. Right? When Jesus came first, it wasn't to redeem and restore the world. It was to redeem and restore us. The sin that separated us from God became because of what Christ did on the cross through his death, burial, and resurrection, that sin has been taken care of. And we can be restored back to God. God made a way through Christ to put things back the way he intended. But our world is not yet redeemed. So both of these realities are true at the same time. In this world, you will have trouble. But in Jesus, we have an overcoming Savior. In this world, you will have trouble. In this world, we have an overcoming Savior, but there is great hope in the Scriptures. Because at the end of this book, it says that Jesus is not coming to fix the sin problem. He already did that. He's coming to redeem and restore the world. But until then, we live in this weird reality of broken world and our coming Savior, where we still have hope even in sickness, where we still have hope even in death, where we still have hope even in difficulty, where we still have hope even in storms. But the day is coming when it all will be redeemed. But until then, we have to choose how we're going to respond to the storms. Here's your next feeling. We will choose responding in fear or in faith. Fear or faith. Let's go back to Peter in this story, right? He's in the middle of a storm when he realizes it's Jesus. He can respond in fear or he can respond in faith. Either way, there's an outcome. Think of these two choices like this. If Peter would have just went along with the other 11, he would have never had that experience with Jesus. Right? And eventually would have felt this. This is what always happens when we make a choice out of fear. We end up with the what ifs. What if I would have stepped out of the boat. What if I would have trusted Jesus more? What if I would have taken that job? What if I wasn't so scared of change and would have accepted that opportunity? What if? But Peter didn't choose fear. He chose this. Faith. And every time we respond in faith, there is this. You might be saying, yes. Peter sank. Yeah, he did. But to this day, he's the only one that has ever walked on water beside Jesus. It had to be one of his top moments of his life. Right? You need to know that no matter what you decide in these moments, especially if you're a Jesus follower, and you choose to live by faith, no matter what you choose, someone's always going to say that you're... Israel, that you're foolish. Huh. An example of this could be Peter, right? He had it in his heart, that want to ask Jesus, hey, Jesus, come out of the boat and walk on water. But what if he never would have spoken up? What if he never said anything that what he felt in his heart? What if he just stayed quiet? I think Jesus could think Peter is foolish. What, Peter? You don't trust me? After everything you've seen me do, think about that. Because we easily forget. I know there's things that you prayed for 2 years ago, or you were praying for 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, or 4 years ago, or 5 years ago, that already happened now, that you probably forget. And sometimes, right now, you might be praying for some stuff right now that hasn't happened. And you're like, oh, what's going on? After everything you've seen me do, you don't trust me. But Peter asked Jesus, he stepped out of the boat. And in that moment, the other 11 guys were probably thinking, hey, Peter, you're crazy. You are. Foolish. At one point in every one of our lives, we're going to have to choose who we're going to live for. And you're going to have to answer this question. Do you want to look foolish in the eyes of others, or do you want to look foolish in the eyes of God? Think back. Think back. Things that you prayed for a year ago, things that you prayed for 2 years ago, things that you prayed for 3 years ago, that already happened, but you probably never even get thanks to God. Let me give you some examples. In your relationships, let's say you decide to forgive someone that hurt you. That's a faith decision, right? But you might have some friends, you might have some family that are probably saying, you know what, you're foolish after everything they did, you know? But let's say you decide not to forgive and you become bitter. God might look at you and say, as much as I've forgiven you, you can't forgive them? That's foolish. Say you're single. You're a Jesus follower. In a dating relationship, you want to honor God and stay pure. As difficult as that is, you don't want to have sex in your dating relationship. The eyes of the world will probably tell you you're foolish. Why would you deprive yourself? Go get it. Why would you wait? And I promise you, that kind of faith is someday going to give you a reward, bring you a reward. Because you have a whole heart, a healthy soul, an opportunity for a better future marriage relationship. How about in your finances? And let's say you're a Jesus follower and you chose to give, invest in God's kingdom through your local church by giving. Right? You choose to tithe, to give $1 of out of every 10. Or maybe like some of us during this Cannonball series decided to give more. I can tell you, you're going to have friends and maybe your financial planner is going to say, you're foolish. But let's say you kept the money all for yourself. God's going to go, hey, you don't trust me? You don't think I can do more with your 90% than you can do alone with 100? That's foolish. This is a decision we will all have to make. The storms, when the storms hit our lives, how are we going to respond? In fear or in faith? Saw a video this week. Maybe you guys have heard of it or maybe seen it before. It's a NBA basketball coach. His name is Monty Williams. His wife, Ingrid, was killed in a car accident. And after suddenly losing his wife and mother of five children, he shared some of the most faith-filled words I've ever heard just a few days after that. I want to share that video with you guys. Watch this.
Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. All of this will work out. As hard as this is for me and my family and for you, this will work out. I know this because I've seen this in my life. See, back in 1990, at the University of Notre Dame, I had a doctor look me in the face and say, you're going to die if you keep playing basketball. And I had testing done, test after test, shipping me all over the place to try to figure out a way for me to play. And it didn't work out. And I kept that from Ingrid. She knew I was having some tests done, but she didn't know the severity of the situation. So my career was over at the age of 18. And we had a press conference, and I left the press conference by myself, and I went to her dorm room, and I told her what happened. And the very next words out of her mouth, after we probably cried a little bit, she said, honey, Jesus can heal your heart. And I'm evidence that God can work it out. I don't care what you're going through. This is hard for my family, but this will work out. And my wife would punch me if I were to sit up here and whine about what's going on. That doesn't take away the pain. But it will work out because God causes all things to work out. You just can't quit. You can't give in. See, the Bible says Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And America teaches us to just numb that, and it's not true, but it is true. All you got to do is look around you. Get outside of these walls, and you know it's true. This will work out. Doesn't mean it's not hard. Doesn't mean it's not painful. Doesn't mean we don't have tough times, and we're going to have tough times. What we need is the Lord. And that's what my wife tried to exhibit every single day. So let's not lose sight of what's important. God will work this out. My wife is in heaven. God loves us. God is love. And when we walk away from this place today, let's celebrate. Because my wife is where we all need to be. And I'm envious of that. But I got 5 crumb snatchers I got to deal with. I love you guys for taking time out of your day to celebrate my wife. We didn't lose her. When you lose something, you can't find it. I know exactly where my wife is. I'll miss holding her hand. I'll miss talking with my wife. Sam and Coach Donovan probably couldn't figure out why I always wanted to get out of the office. Me and Mo Cheeks. Mo probably wanted to go do something else, but we always wanted to get out of the office. I just enjoy being with my wife. I enjoy being with my family. And most of the times we didn't do anything. We just be at the house sitting around doing nothing. I'm gonna miss that. Let's not lose sight of what's important. God is important. What Christ did on the cross is important. Let's not lose sight of that family that also lost someone that they loved. I love you guys. I hope I get a chance to hug and shake a hand and give a kiss on the cheek. But let's keep what's important at the forefront. Thank you.
Monty Williams is a great example of a godly man who is living out these words in 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. It says this, "We do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. For we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Storms will come in your life. You might be in one now. How will we respond? In faith or in fear? Even when we respond in faith, like Peter, write this down as your next filling. We will fail, yet our failure is not final. All of us are going to make mistakes when it comes to this idea of walking by faith. We're all going to step out of the boat at times. Full of faith. Let's do this. Yet when we see the waves and the wind, we might begin to sink. But I want you to remember what Jesus didn't do. He didn't mock Peter. He didn't shame Peter. He didn't make Peter swim back to the boat on his own. When Peter cried out, Jesus reached out. We're all going to fail. We're all going to have weak moments or even lose our faith at times during storms. Yet the great hope in this story is that when they do, Jesus is right there. Jesus is right there. Later, Jesus and Peter get together with the 11 other disciples, and they're sharing a meal where they had just had their first communion. Jesus predicts Peter's denial. Jesus tells him that he's going to fail. But he also says these words in Luke 22. He says this: "But I have prayed for you. I have prayed that your faith will hold firm and that you will recover from your failure and become a source of strength for your brothers here." God promises not only to forgive our failures, but to use them to teach us as we grow into who he created us to be. This is what he did for Peter, and this is what he's going to do for us, for me and for you. I don't know what you're going through right now. Maybe marriage issues, work problems, financial stress, maybe cancer, maybe death. I don't know what decisions you are facing, but in the middle of the storm or of the moments of decision, I want you to know, here's your next feeling, that Jesus is a wave walker and is inviting me and you to get out of the boat. How many of you guys believe in prayer? Raise your hand. How many of you guys are going through a storm right now? Raise your hand. And please stand up. For those of you who are sitting, I want you to go to a person that's standing next to you or standing around your area and pray for your brother, pray for your sister. Come on, guys. For those of you who are standing, go to someone that is next to you or around your area and pray for them. I want everybody that stood up to have someone praying for them. From the person that raised their hand, who doesn't have a person praying for you? Raise your hand. Oliver. Can you come over? Elsa. You going to pray? You going to pray? Eduardo. Somebody, I need a prayer guy? A prayer person? Can you pray? Does somebody have somebody already? Does everybody that stood up, that's going through a storm, have somebody already? Huh?
We're both in a storm, but we're just going to pray for each other.
Okay. Everybody? All right. Let's pray. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for the work that you're doing in every single one of us. I pray for everyone that stood up, Lord. I know you know their situation. I know you know what they're going through. I pray for every situation, Lord. May you bless it. You bless it, Lord. You bless it, Lord. We're a family. We're brothers and sisters. Will the worship team please come back up, please? God knows what you're going through. And I hope that you leave today, when you leave today, knowing that he's right there with you. He's right there. We're going to play a song, and I want you to reflect on what you heard today. Jesus is with us in the storms. Jesus is with us through the storms. And he invites us to trust him during the worst this world can bring our way. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. I pray that you may be filled with hope and peace. Help you get out of your boat to fully trust Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.